brought to you by Penguin.
The Road to the Country by Chigozie Obioma. Read by Junior Nyongo.
To Adama, who first called me Daadi, and to the memory of all who perished during the war. The story of a war can only be fully and truly told by both the living and the dead. Igbo proverb. It is not easy to speak about Biafra. It was like the end of the world, of civilization. Half of the population was starving, dying, and most were too weak to even care about sheltering from the war going on around them. Writers and journalists who were there, like Kurt Vonnegut, would tell you that this war was of such scale that more small weapons were used within the borders of this small country than in the Second World War. If World War I produced new diseases like trench foot, this war gave us new diseases like kwashiorkor and canker morris. The war was the reason the French doctors who were here formed Doctors Without Borders. Anonymous. We can only tell the story of Biafra as if it did not happen, as a speculation or riddle, or something that may yet happen, maybe as a vision, as fiction, or a prophetic warning. Sergeant Isaiah Nwankwo, Biafran 39th Battalion, January 1970. Part 1. The Birth of the Star. The road to the hills is tenuous in the dark. When approached in daylight, it presents itself as a straight path. At night, it acquires a mystic character, appearing sinuous and much farther. But once the seer crosses the small creek, the road becomes more distinct, glowing under the eye of the moon, as if patiently waiting for him. The trees at the foot of the hills are thin and short, but their leaves, like those of all old trees, bear in them a provincial history of the universe. And now, having reached the summit of the hill, he stands in triumph. The star he has been following for much of the night has dissolved into a mosaic of colors, a bright purplish mass ringed with scattered archipelagos of yellow and crimson. He stands under the fugitive colors of its light, teetering on the verge of tears. The seer unrolls the raffia mat first, then sets down the things he has brought, a silver bowl, a water-filled demijohn, an amulet of stringed cowries and snake teeth. With the weight of dreams bearing down on him, he empties the demijohn into the bowl. The water stirs, bubbles up, and settles, its dark surface creased with spots of bluish starlight. He feels an anxious thrill in his body, for he knows that he is inching closer to that moment when Ifa's vision will begin and he will bear witness to the future of the child about to be born. The seer has done this ritual only twice before, once under the supervision of his master a decade ago, in 1937, and 3 years later, by himself. He has come to these hills bearing the dignity of a transgressive, knowing that he seeks this vision in part to redeem himself. Since the death of his beloved wife, his life has been stripped of its purpose by grief, so that all he wants now is to someday understand what happened to her. He clasps the amulet between his fingers and looks up at the horizon as it constricts, folding into the center where the prominent star he'd come to observe stands, radiant. The star combusts in a spasm of light and falls, tracing down like a flaming spear. It comes to rest just above the hill, over the seer's head, drowning him in the bowl in its bluish light. The seer gasps, for he knows the meaning of this. The person whose star falls out of the sky and rises back up will be among the rarest of mankind. An Abamieda, one who will die and return to life.
Baba, are you seeing this?
The seer says, pointing to the sky as if his master, dead, now 2 years, can see it. For so long, he's been wanting to experience this galactic miracle his master had often spoken about, to bear witness to the vision of a life that will defy death. After 25 years of practicing astral divinations, he has beheld it. The seer throws the amulet into the bowl.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?